Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
It's been hard to come for me to be here. Yeah, I've been refusing several times. I've been pushed. Can you do it? I said, not this week, nah. Yeah, but here I am today. Thank God. Amen. As a new preacher, you carry around your notes with you. So I have my notes. Many people in the Bible are known for different things. King David, if I can mention King David, from Kindi, from Kids Church, you'll say he was known for killing the giant Goliath. What would you say Moses was known for? Burning bush. Yeah. The Israel, the Ten Commandments, all that. Joshua? Anyone? Joshua? The walls of Jericho, exactly. Samson? Delilah, yeah. So today we're going to learn about someone. We're going to learn about Hezekiah. What was Hezekiah known for? He was a good king, very good, yeah. Hezekiah was known as a very good king. We want to go through some practical things that he does to not just survive the storm, but thrive in the midst of it. Before we start, let us pray. Lord, thank you for this time you have given me to open your word and discover who you are. Thank you that you don't leave us in the dark about who you are and what you are doing in the world, but that you have revealed yourself and will through the Bible. Lord, please give me your wisdom now as I approach your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We'll straight away go into 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 6. We want to know about Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden image and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Hezekiah was a good king and a godly man. Because he was a king, we may think that Hezekiah had a good start in life, but this was not the case. His father Ahaz was one of the wickedest kings in Judah, in Judah's history. And during his reign, the religious life of the nation reached an all-time low. If you read 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 2 to 4, it says, Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed in the steps of the previous corrupt kings and even sacrificed his son in the fire. He followed the detestable ways of the nations that the Lord had driven out. He offered up sacrifices and burned incense at the high places on hilltops and under every spreading tree. This was the type of father that King Hezekiah had, with a father and a background like that, we start asking questions as to how Hezekiah became such a noble and spiritually minded man. Where did his faith in God and his spiritual character come from? Certainly not from his home background. As we have seen, it can only have been that God's spirit had worked directly in his life. Not everybody has the blessing of being brought up in a godly home, in surroundings where the Bible is being read and prayers are being said. This, to me, shows us that God is a personal God, sovereign and unrestricted God. Your character and relationship with God does not depend on someone else. It doesn't depend on your family background or culture. Your walk with God, your faith in God, and relationship with Him does not depend on your parents or grandparents' relationship with God. Though they can pray, interceding on your behalf, because they have a close relationship with God, it doesn't mean that you too will have that same close relationship. Likewise, if your parents are far from God, doesn't mean that you will be far from God. Your relationship with God depends on you and more so on God. It depends on nothing else and no one else. For in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39 says, For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. However, Hezekiah did have the prophet Isaiah as his friend and mentor. Mentors are needed in our Christian walk. Your parents, if they are believers, can be your best teachers. Your pastors or someone who has a good walk with the Lord can be your mentor. So Hezekiah had the privilege of having Isaiah the prophet as his mentor, as his close friend. Isaiah was speaking for truth and righteousness in that godless age. Isaiah was speaking for truth and righteousness in that godless age, and Hezekiah is to be commended for listening to him. There are many voices speaking in the world today who may be gifted, experienced speakers with loud voices, louder than my voice, very popular with good looks and a huge internet following these days, highly educated with long titles to their names, wealthy business people. My question is, who are you listening to? And why are you listening to them? And what Hezekiah said to the why are you listening to them? And what type of message are you permitting to receive in your life? Hezekiah stayed to the Lord, true to the Lord, and listened to him. We know of his character. Let's take a look at what he did as king. So from day one, when he becomes king, he sets himself a task of cleansing the house of Judah. We see story after story if we read from 2 Chronicles, from chapter 29 up to 31. We see story after story of all that Hezekiah did to bring God back to the center of the life of the Jews. The writer says that the transformation of the culture was like nothing ever seen before since David was king 300 years earlier. Then we get to chapter 32. This is where it gets more interesting now. In chapter 32, we've seen all the good things that Hezekiah has done, has been doing for the church, has been doing for the people of Israel. Then in chapter 32, it goes on to say in chapter 32, verse 1, from verse 1, it says, after all that Hezekiah had so faithfully done, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah. He laid siege to the fortified cities, thinking to conquer them for himself. Assyria during that time was the superpower. So it was like invading all the small countries around it and annexing it to it. So it wanted to invade Judah, where Hezekiah was king. And Hezekiah has been perfecting his ways in the Lord, running with the Lord. So now he's facing the enemy. The enemy wants to attack him. Does anyone have a problem with this? For 11 years, Hezekiah has done everything right. But trouble still comes. If it was me, I would say, God, I don't understand. I was doing everything to bring order to your house. Why did you let this happen? Have you ever come or faced such a situation in life where you say, God, where are you? God, I thought if I followed you, I wouldn't have any problems. Here's what Hezekiah knows. Life is uncertain, but God is not. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but we know who holds tomorrow. He's got the whole world in his hands. So rather than shaking his fist and blaming him, or sulking that God is not playing fair, or just being depressed because life is becoming hard, Hezekiah just says, that's life. And takes steps to ensure that he does all that he's supposed to do. In times of difficult or uncertainty, we still have responsibility. When such times come and we experience them in our lives, there are some things that we are responsible to do before God will do what only God can do. Our biggest step as Christians, or as Christians or in here, is we must put our house in order. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 2 to 5. When Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and he intended to make war on Jerusalem, he consulted with his officials and military staff about blocking off the water from the springs outside the city. And they helped him. A large force of men assembled and they blocked all the springs and the stream that followed through the land. Why would the kings of Assyria come and find plenty of water? They said. Then he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the supporting terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. Three things Hezekiah did to get his house in order, we are told, is he blocked off the bad. Two, he mended the broken. And number three, he bolstered the weak. He took a personal inventory and got his house in order. In the like manner, a similar work of demolition and clearing up has to take place in a person's life before the full work of salvation is experienced. The old nature needs to die, and the new nature needs to grow and be nurtured. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. Some habits or problems will go automatically. Others you'll have to fight off with the word of God and start making the right choices in your life. If you do a patch-up job on yourself and just cover your problems with a little plaster, then once the plaster has worn off, the problem will still be there. It's only the plaster that has gone off, but the problem still remains. The hurts, disappointments, rejection, anger, to mention a few, will still be there. You need to get to the root of the problem. then pull the root out and let the new nature grow. Those who know me, I love gardening a lot. I do grow flowers and everything. But the problem is with some weeds, you have to be on your knees so that you do a thorough job. If you don't look after your garden, the weeds can outgrow the flowers or the plants that you want to maintain, and it can get into a big mess, which will require more than two hands to do the job. Our spiritual lives should be that we have an open and honest conversation with God, void of weeds. By blocking off the bed, Hezekiah saw the springs that were outside the walls of Jerusalem and thought to himself, I don't want the enemy to have access to anything that will cause their presence to be here any longer than they should. Nothing would make them welcome to advance and strengthening their resolve. In the like manner, there are some things in our lives that supply strength to the enemies that are advancing on our positions through the habits, the attitudes, and patterns of thinking that we have. Number two, I said mending the broken. Mending the broken is the hardest part. It says he worked hard repairing all the broken sections of the wall. If something is broken, it means it was once healthy, but it is no longer healthy. It could be things like communication in your marriage or trust in a relationship. Maybe it is a health or a financial decision. I don't know. But I do know this. The passage says they worked hard. This is hard work, but it is necessary. He bolstered the weak. It says he built another wall outside the one and reinforced the supporting terraces. Usually when you reinforcing something, it means you want it to stay permanently and strong. So he reinforced the supporting terraces. He didn't wait until the Assyrians came to attack, but had been working on it for years. Things might be doing perfectly okay for you right now, but you see that if the enemy concentrated on that point, they might succeed. You need to know your weak spots. Your finances might be okay now, but over a long period of time, you are vulnerable. It could be your marriage feels very good, but are you reinforcing it to withstand the Assyrians' attack? Don't just assume that just because things are adequate now, that they will be okay in the midst of the storm. Number two, we need to get our hearts in order. The number one emotion in crisis is fear. Fear. F-E-A-R. I don't know. Is this the way? Fear? Fear? Fear. All right. Fear rules the valley. Yeah, some have said. Fear is not reality. It is our emotional response to what we know. One is put it saying that fear is an acrostic saying false evidence appearing real. Where there is hurt, there is fear. People are even afraid of their next door neighbor these days. Fear keeps us captive. And you know what? Fear sells. Look at the media today. Its focus is on sales. So they'll be looking for news that sells. And news that sells has to do with fear. North Korea is about to attack America. Everyone just buys the paper. That's fear. Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, tried to do the same thing in Hezekiah's time. He sent a letter to the people inside the walls of Jerusalem, telling them how vulnerable and weak they were compared to him. He reminded them that nobody else's God had been able to stand up to him. The Bible says he had his soldiers yelling over the wall in Hebrew to scare the people on the wall. His plan was divide and conquer. Use psychological warfare because fear sells. Here is what Hezekiah did. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Sennacherib is going to do everything in his power to discourage the people. But Hezekiah gives them courage. What wise people do in such times of uncertainty is limit the voices of influence. They decide who they will and not listen to. What wise people do is to stick to what they do know and not speculate into what they don't know. If your house is not in order and Jesus is not the cornerstone of your life, your heart will never be in order. Let us make Jesus the center of our lives so that when we pray, God's will prevails, not yours. The moment God's will start prevailing in your life, you will start finding peace, God's peace in your life. Apparently, uncertain seasons are the most powerful God moments we experience. They often put God on display more than any other seasons, demonstrating that God exists and rewards those who seek him. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.